Our first scripture reading for the stewardship campaign, our first scripture reading, our only scripture reading for today's worship service, comes from 1 Kings chapter 3. I know that the bulletin in the screen says verses 5 through 14, but I'm going to start a little earlier because it gives us a fuller idea of Solomon and where Solomon's at right at this point in the scripture. Solomon made a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. He took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had finished building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall around Jerusalem. The people were sacrificing at the high places. However, because no house had yet been built for the name of the Lord, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statues of his father David. Only he sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal place, high place. Solomon used to offer thousands of burnt offerings at that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. Sometimes I just wish God would appear to me in a dream by night and give me clear direction for what I'm supposed to do the next day. But this is the interaction that God and Solomon had. God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon responded, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept him for him the great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king a place of my father David. Even though I am only a child, I don't know how to come out or how to go in. And your servant is in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a great people so numerous they can't even be counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil, for who can govern these your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or for the life of your enemies, but you have asked for your understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life." Then Solomon awoke. It had been a dream. He came to Jerusalem where he stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He offered up burnt offerings and offerings of well-being and provided a feast for all his servants. This is the living word of God. Thanks be to God. Holy One, by the power of your Spirit, inspire us, encourage us to respond faithfully to your grace and your wisdom, your great gift, O God. Be with us this day as we discern how to respond, how to be faithful followers of your Son and our Savior. Amen. So I struggled, withdrew, just a little bit. We struggled a little bit because I was like, Solomon? Solomon is the epitome of wisdom, the beginning of our stewardship campaign. Because Solomon, up to this moment in chapters 1 and 2, is not very honorable and is pretty self-centered in all the decisions he makes. According to the covenant that he and his people have with God, he's not supposed to make alliances with Egypt, nor is he supposed to marry the Pharaoh's daughter. And he does both. And then, instead of rebuilding the temple with the wealth and the resources he has, he decides to build himself a fine and mighty palace. The walls for Jerusalem weren't even built yet to protect all the people. So the people aren't being protected. There's nowhere for the people to worship. But Solomon is set. Solomon is set in his high palace, high above all the problems that are down below. He's all good. And I struggled with that. I struggled with using him as our example of how to be good stewards of the resources that we have. And then I thought a little deeper and a little bit harder, I think that Solomon might represent some of the ways we behave in the world a little bit more than I would like to admit. We can see ways that leaders and people and even ourselves do not use the resources that we have been blessed with in ways that will bless the good of the community versus our own selfish desires, needs, or wants. And it's hard. It's hard. I'm gonna talk a little bit about money, which nobody likes to talk about money. And my Nana told me in public spaces, you really shouldn't talk about three things, Heather. You really shouldn't talk about money, politics, or religion. So here we go, everybody. We're going to do all three. Ready, set. We don't like to talk about money. And when the stewardship campaign comes up, everybody starts to groan. And some people even skip worship during that season. But we seek to be faithful in all that we do and in all that we are. It's okay. It's never as disruptive to the preacher when it's not their own child. When it's their own child, that's a different story. If you want to be a faithful follower and figure out what it is that God wants from you in relationship to money, in relationship to the resources you have, time, talent, treasure, we need to start somewhere. And here's where we're going to start. We're going to take a page out of Solomon's book, and we're going to start by transforming our hearts with God's wisdom. That's where Solomon started. That's when his life and his direction began to change. And that's when he started seeing the goodwill for the rest of the people, and not just for self-serving reasons, but for the rest of the world. So we start there. We start by seeking out God's wisdom. When was the last time you sat and prayed and asked for God's wisdom to help direct and guide your use of money? It definitely wasn't when I bought this fancy little LuLaRoe thingamajig I got on today. I certainly didn't pray before I did that. Do we take the time to seek out God's wisdom in big and small ways so that we become faithful followers? So that we are faithful stewards of all the good gifts that God blesses our lives with. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, back in the 18th century, yeah, I'm really bad with numbers. That's why I probably don't like to ask God about money, because I have no idea. But John Wesley was noticing the gap between the rich and the poor and how big that was growing. So John Wesley wanted to address that. This was also when the Industrial Revolution was getting off the ground. And he decided to bring education and health care and different opportunities for those who found themselves in poverty to get out of poverty. But then he started noticing something. After a while, these folks started acquiring a lot of wealth. started wearing fancy clothes and started building more and more ornate houses of worship, which, if you can imagine, did not sit well with Mr. John Wesley. So he began preaching about money and teaching about it. He did not teach that money was the root of all evil. He taught that how you use money can be the root of evil. And we see that. We see that. We see how money can be used to abuse others, to oppress others, to maintain systems that are unjust, systems that make sure the haves have more and the have-nots have even less. We see that selfish greed that plagues our world. But God asks us to start in a different place than the rest of the world. God asks us to start with seeking wisdom, which is only a gift God can give us. It's not just about collecting data or a whole lot of information. It's about having a discerning heart and figuring out what it is that God wants of our whole lives. Not just little pieces here and there. Not just what we're comfortable giving up. But all the pieces. All the pieces. Can you go back to Clayton's? I went to visit Clayton this week, along with others. I have faith in you, see? Clayton has been a pillar in our congregation and has been at Wesley for probably 2 years now. I have learned that wisdom, and I learned from Clayton that wisdom comes from being rooted and grounded in the love of God at all times and in all places. Even when you're not in the happiest place, even when life doesn't seem fair or just or kind, I've learned from one of our top givers in heart and in soul and in money to be compassionate, kind, and loving to every single person that crosses my path without exception. May we all do the same. May we remember that wisdom is rooted and grounded in the love of God, and God seeks all of us to discern ways to faithfully respond to God's call in our lives and on our hearts. Amen.